Our lesson for today is found in Matthew 13, verses 24 through 30. Let us stand at the reading of God's holy word. Matthew 13, verses 24 through 30. And another parable he put forth to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, 'Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares?' He said to them, An enemy has done this.' The servant said to him, 'Do you want us then to go and gather them up?' But he said, 'No, lest while you gather up the tares, you also root up the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them. Then gather the wheat into my barn.' These were thy words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us in the truth. Thy word is eternally true. Amen." You may be seated. As we look at this portion of Scripture, we see that Jesus is speaking in parables to his people that hear him, as well as to his disciples. And we see also that we wonder why this might be. He spoke in parables because the people wouldn't listen. And as he said earlier in the chapter, "I speak in parables because you don't listen and you haven't listened to the prophets and the teachers that has come before, that has tried to teach and tell you of the things to come." And we can see this in verses 10 through 17, that he explains why he speaks in parables. And in verses 14 and 15, he tells us, "In them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, 'Hearing you will hear and shall not understand. Seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their heart and turn so that I should heal them.'" God says, if you cannot understand and if you don't see, I cannot heal you because you do not understand the spiritual nature of your own body and the things going on in this world. Then Jesus went on and told his disciples in verse 16, in verse 36, he says, "Blessed are your eyes, for they have seen, and your ears, for they have heard." And these disciples who walked with Jesus for those 3 years, they were taught by Jesus himself what the true word of God was and how God loved this world so much that he came into the world as the Son of God, and how he was willing to give his own life for the love that he had for the people, and how he was willing to be crucified on Calvary's cross for each one of us. And the people did not understand that. Christ, he tries all the different ways and methods in which to bring the message of salvation across to each one of us. And we may see it in trials. We may see it in hardships. We may see a loved one that passes away or something, and we will say, "Why?" And God will have his Spirit touch us and say, "You must remember, I am the Lord thy God, and there are no other gods before me, and I want you to trust in me so I can give you my peace not the peace of the world, but the peace which passes all understanding. And that your loved one, if he is a believer in Christ or she, they are in heaven waiting for you. They have been escorted by the angels into paradise. And this is what Jesus is trying to tell us. That, you know, we love the world so much. The world was made by us, it tells us in John. And yet, the world did not know Christ when it came. God chose the Israelites to be his chosen people. Yet when God came to them through their son Jesus, they did not know him and they wanted nothing to do with him. And aren't we that way sometimes too? We may think we have it all and then something happens and we can't understand why. So you see, because the people would not listen, Jesus says, I will talk to you in parables. And we see that the prophets and the teachers before this had called the people to repentance. We've seen John the Baptist, when the Pharisees and the Sadducees come to him, he says, you brood of vipers, why are you coming to me? Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And yet these people, they only wanted a show. And so many times we see that even in our own lives, don't we? And we want it our own way and not the way God wants it. We see in the Old Testament reading that as we read this, that God tells us that this part is broke up in three portions. If you would read and study Jeremiah, you would find Jeremiah was called the weeping prophet. And in these six verses we read, verses 5 and 6 tells us of man trying to do things man's way. And 7 and 8 tells us what God says to the man who believes and trusts in him. And then 9 and 10 gives us the warning of what happens for those who don't believe. And let's go over those real quickly. You know, 5 and 6, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength or his arm, and whose heart departs from the Lord. For he shall be like a shrub out in the desert and doesn't realize when it's raining and wants water and so forth. And we could look at this into Isaiah chapter 30, verses 1, 2, and then 31 in verses 1 and 2. And it tells, God says, you know, you go down to Egypt and you ask Pharaoh to protect you. But you didn't ask me to protect you. You go down to Egypt and you tell them you want his chariots to protect you and to make you strong. And you want his horsemen, because they're strong men, to come and do your bidding. But God says, you didn't ask me of my advice and you didn't ask me if you should do this. So because you have this, you will not see when good comes to you. You will not see when good comes and when you can see the milk and honey flowing in your own land. And then in verses 7 and 8, he goes on, he says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is the Lord, for he shall be like a tree planted by the river of water, and he shall not worry about drought, because he's trusting in God and God is flourishing him and making him prosperous in all things. And even when drought comes, he still doesn't worry about it, and his leaves will not drop, because he's out there working for God and he has God first in his life. Then in verses 9 and 10, he goes on a little bit further and he says, you know, the heart is deceitful and wicked above all things, and desperately wicked, who can know it? And God says, I search the heart. I search each person deep down. What are you thinking? Why are you doing it? What is your intention? Are you living for God or only on the surface? Comes the question to us. And if we say we're living for God, our life will show it, as in Colossians. It'll show that we have Christ first and foremost. We will see that we have the promise of God. And in Isaiah 18, we will surely pick up this promise, and we will want it every day because it's spiritual, and we will realize God is talking to us, not only in the physical sense, but spiritually. How is it with your soul? You see, your soul goes on to live even after your body is gone. And so in Isaiah 30:18, we read, "Therefore the Lord will wait." And sometimes we wonder, don't we? We say, what is he waiting for? Why doesn't he come and straighten this mess out? And God says, I am merciful, and I am waiting for that next soul that's being convicted today by the Holy Spirit. And I want that soul to accept Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior. And sometimes we want to rush these things. He says he will wait, that he may be gracious to you, and therefore he will be exalted, because more people will come to him. And this is why he doesn't want us to go out and tear up the weeds in the grain, because we could root up some of these Christians that maybe have just accepted Christ or are under the conviction of Christ, and we would turn them against Christ because we decided to try and do it our way. You know, it reminds me of when I was a child. Well, I suppose I was a young man, and my dad would tell us, go out into the flax field and pull up that king weed, because we had so much of it. And he says, do everything you can to not pull up the flax. And so we would walk through that field trying to pull up the king weed. And we would try, if we pulled up a bunch of flax, we would try and put it back in, hoping it would take root. Jesus is saying, let it grow until the harvest, so you don't root up the weak Christian, the one that's just being rooted in the Word, the one that has just accepted Christ. And you know, some of these, what we think are weeds, may be people under the conviction of sin. And they're ready to accept Christ. And they're watching us, how we live, what we do, what we say. And then it goes on to tell us, too, he says, he'll have mercy on us, for the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all those who wait for him. You see, we say, you know, in John 3, 15 through 18, we read about the love of God, but at the end of verse 18, we also see his justice. He says, if you do not believe that I sent Jesus into this world to die for your sin, then you have condemned yourself, and you will be in condemnation. You have condemned yourself because you didn't believe. Isn't that something? And you know, if we were to go a little bit further into Matthew, we would find in Matthew that God has the winnowing fan. And the farmers all know what this is. It's a cleaning machine. And he says, I clean the threshing floor, and only the good grain is left. And I take that good grain and I put it in my barn or my granary, and I take and bundle up all the chaff and all the weeds, and I throw them into unquenchable fire. And we think, well, we just burn the stubble. But spiritually speaking, all of those who have rejected Christ throughout their life has now been bundled together at the last judgment and cast into hell, an eternal damnation, an eternal punishment for their not accepting Jesus Christ. And we see that the world is the field, and we know the good seed is the Word of God, And we know that as Christians that we believe and we accept Jesus Christ and what he has done on the cross for each one of us, that we are his ones to go out and help take and harvest. Because Jesus says, look out onto the field that's white unto harvest. Are you willing to plant some seed? It reminds me of when I was a younger person, when I had first accepted the Lord, I used to be quite hot-tempered. And my brothers and sisters used to enjoy teasing me and making me mad. And I would get so angry, I would just fly out of the house and I would push away whatever was in my way. And after I accepted Christ, I says, you know, I'm not going to get mad. And you know, it was so hard. I would be doing something or ask them to help me, and they would purposely say, let's make him mad. And I would sit there and say, Lord, help me not to get mad. And I would go ahead and do what I had to do. And they thought they were teasing me and going to make me mad, and they couldn't figure out why I didn't get so angry and throw stuff like I used to. And then later in life, now most of my brothers and sisters are gone, but later in life, many of them came to me and said, you know, we could never figure out what happened to you, and you quit getting mad. And you would just smile, or you might not say anything. And most of them have accepted the Lord before they died. And those that are left, I think, I'm not saying they're all walking with the Lord, but they know where God is in my life. And they know what they must do to have Christ in their life. It's something to think about. How do we react around our friends, around our family? What type of a seed are we sowing? Are we pulling up the weeds and ruining the good grain? Or are we trying to help to bring others to Christ? We are to help and to keep them in prayer. We are to help and to keep them and stand beside them in time of need. You know, in 1 John, it tells us that if we see our brother or sister in need and we tell them, go your way, peace be with you, and we have the goods in which to help them and we don't, are we Christians? Are we only looking out for ourselves? You see, Satan will take and throw these tares into the field, and he will do everything he can to keep you thinking bad thoughts or keep you thinking about maybe the Bible isn't all true. Maybe there is errancy in it. And yet God tells us his word is inerrant and it is the true word of God. There is no mistakes in his word. There's no mistakes in what he does. He is in control and he has all things in his control. And as we see this, we see the rooting up of these Christians. And we see that we have to then not pull up these weeds, and that we can take and help them be rooted in the Word of God. And I'd like to read from Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. He has delivered us as Christians now from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, which is Jesus Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. Isn't that something, that we have this forgiveness of sin in Christ because of what he has done on the cross for us? We are to show our love for Christ by doing his will to those round about us. We are to let our light so shine before men that they will see Christ in us and glorify God who is in heaven, not us. But we are to see that God is glorified in all things, aren't we? And then we can see, too, that as a tree planted by the river of water, studying the Word of God, we will know that we can have the Holy Spirit teaching us more and more every day. Sometimes we have a hard time reading and understanding what we read, and yet we pray and say, Lord, help me to understand this. Help me to get your full meaning out of it, and He will. You see, our eyes and ears can be opened to His Word if we trust in Christ as our Lord and Savior. And you know, we see too that as man's evil ways will take all kinds of actions, and they'll try and lead us astray, and they'll try and keep these weeds or these tares in the wheat field. And in Ecclesiastes 9:13, it's told us, this is an evil in all that is done under the sun, that one thing that happens, truly the hearts of the Son of Man are full of evil. Madness is in their hearts while they live. And then after that, they die and they go to be with the rest of the dead. Isn't that something? You know, we may think we have the world in our control, but God is in control. And if we have Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, we will realize that, and we will acknowledge that, and we will say, Lord God, help us to do your will, that all glory and honor will be to you and you alone, and that we would be no more like the children tossed to and fro because of evil doctrines or people coming in and trying to make false statements about what God really is. And we have many of those out there today. We can see them. We can see it in our own country so plainly, of the things that are happening and coming upon the earth. When Jesus tells us as believers that we will suffer for His name's sake in the end times. And we see that happening so much today. That in John it tells us that in the end days they will put us out of the churches and they will even kill us, thinking they're doing God a favor. And we see today, and I'm not sure how it is up here in Roseau or War Road, but I do know this. The Gideons can go to New Folden, which used to be a great revival was back in about 1928 to 30 in that era. Had a great revival back in that area. And today, and the Gideons want to put Bibles in the schools or give them to the kids, they're told, you go stand on the sidewalk, and if the kids want one, they can come to you. You can't come into the school. In Thief River, if you want to pass out Bibles or Testaments, the teachers give the students slips, and they come home, take them home. If the parents sign those slips, you can come in and give them a Testament or a Bible. Otherwise, you can't. This is in the United States. It's getting worse. In the Mojave Desert, there is a cemetery of soldiers from World War I. And they put a cross up in that cemetery to give a memorial for what these people had given their lives and the blood of their lives to save our land and to protect us and give us our freedom. Jesus died on Calvary's cross to give us freedom from sin. And he shed his blood and it ran down that cross. And it covers us. And it covers all of our sin. And it makes us whole. This cross in the Mojave Desert, the ACLU has gone to the Supreme Court. And they have covered that cross up with a wooden box made out of plywood until the Supreme Court hears the case, because they said someone will think it's religion. Can't have it. In France and in Belgium and some of these other countries, we have many soldiers from the First and Second World War with crosses on their grave to indicate, and as a memorial, that they gave their blood to keep the land free. It's like Jesus dying on the cross and he shed his blood again down, and it covers our sin. And the ACLU says, we don't want crosses. And man, in their infinite wisdom, is giving in to these things. I don't know how many of you remember or have heard President Obama spoke, I think it was at Yale University, and they sent a forwarding party in there first. And they told Yale University, where is he going to speak from? And they showed him the auditorium, and in the back was a cross. And they said, you have to cover up that cross and all indications of any religion, or he can't come and speak here, because we will not have any religious symbol where he speaks. Bobby Dahl, I don't know how many of you might know him from Newfoundland. He went on a trip with the Gideons to Venezuela. And if he ever is up in this area and gives a program, I would recommend you go. In that program, he said, Venezuela has a dictator that's a communist. Yet, they were there for 14 days, and they handed out 670,000 Bibles and Testaments. And the president or the dictator says, that's fine, these people are poor, and you're giving them a book, and it's their book. And many of them came to know the Lord, because the president maybe didn't realize what the book was. But he said, it's okay. Many of the schools invited them in to give the kids their Bibles and Testaments. And the rest they gave out in the streets. And people in taxi cabs would stop and ask for them. They're so hungry for the word. And yet in the United States, it seems sometimes that we are trying to shut it out. It seems sometimes that we are trying to put away Christ completely. And you know, it tells us that we should have fervent love in 1 Peter one for another. And in this love, we should take and pray for them, because love covers a multitude of sins. And God's love for us through Jesus Christ covered all our sins. When he died on Calvary's cross, he paid for all of our sin. And all we have to do is accept what he did and then want to follow him. And yet, we see so many tares or weeds in the grain, don't we? We want to be living for the Lord, and we should be. When we see people who refuse Christ, we know they're condemning themselves to hell. Romans 10 tells us that if we confess with our heart or with our mouth and believe in our heart that Christ died and rose again, we will be saved. And we're told anyone that calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And we say, well, that sounds awful easy, but yet we see that people don't want to do that. It is our prayer that we not only pray for one another, but that we stand with one another in love as Christ has loved us. And that we would do as God wants us to do in 1 Timothy 2:4, and that he desires that all men would come to the knowledge and saving grace of Christ and the truth, and that they would have Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. And I know many of us are saying, you know, this is true. I could go on and on, and I've cut some of my notes short here, but I could keep on. And it is very, very serious business. And for the young people, it is hard to go and you tell your friends, I have Lord Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And you will see, if you have lived the way of the world, your friends are going to leave you. You might feel you're alone, and yet you aren't, because you have Christ. But at the same time, keep on loving and praying for your friends. Same with the older people. We see many people will say they're going to the casino. Thief River has a casino just outside of town. And I have had people that profess to be Christians. Well, we go there and we spend about $20 once or twice a month, and it's entertainment. And I've asked them this, is it? Do you hope you'll win? Well, if we win, that's fine, but if we don't, so what? But when you put that money in and you push the button or pull the handle or whatever they do, you're hoping deep down that you win. How can you as a Christian go into the den of Satan and tell him, I want to win? Can you as a Christian then go out and say, praise the Lord, I went in here and won? You know, I had a man who used to go at before the casino in Thief River, and he used to go to Manoman about once a week. And one day he won a four-wheeler, a Polaris. And his mother was ecstatic, and she professed to be a Christian. And I says, where did he win it? At the Shooting Star. I says, how long has he gone there? About 4 years. How much did he spend? Oh, that don't count. Just a minute. He isn't married, but if he was married and he was taking food away from his children and taking the Word of God away from his family, would it count? I think it would. Are we playing with the devil, hoping that we can win and still get into heaven? Turn our hearts to the Lord and let us walk the way he wants us to walk. Heavenly Father, we pray that our hearts and minds will be open and receptive to your word, and that as we sing this next song, Search Me, O God, that we will be searched and we will be open to what you find, that we will come to you above all things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Today's radio message is brought to you by the Free Lutheran Churches of Roseau and Norlin, which are members of the Association of Free Lutheran Congregations. Free Lutheran congregations are independent, but work together to serve our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Congregations in the AFLC believe the Holy Bible is God's inerrant word revealed for the salvation of men and therefore the only source and rule of faith, doctrine, and life for a Christian. If you wish to learn more, call 463-2385. Now, for today's message, Pastor Cal Willard.